This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Love Sheikha. I thought before I start this episode, I should explain to you why the podcast series is called The Love Sheikha, because it might sound like a bit of a weird name. Well, the background to it is that many years ago, I was a writer for Sisters magazine. My editor, Naima Robert, she noticed that I was very passionate about writing about marriage and issues to do with keeping your marriage strong and alive, and I was a real advocate for the family and motherhood and all things related to Muslim families. And so she, as a joke, would refer to me as Love Sheikha. And so when it came to this podcast series, and it's a series in which I really want to address some of the issues that families face, in particular people face with in relation to marriage, whether it's before marriage or while they're married. You know, I really wanted to address the sorts of things that people have been asking me about over the years, but also I really wanted to talk about what helps keep a marriage strong, right? What helps keep the spark alive, and how we can make good decisions when it comes to marriage, right? Because there's no relationship that you're going to go into once you become an adult that's going to be more significant and more kind of impactful on your life than marriage and the person you choose to be your spouse, right? And choose to live the rest, hopefully, the rest of your life with. So bearing that in mind, and bearing in mind that family is really the cornerstone of society, right? Or it's a microcosm of society. If we have healthy families, we have a healthy community, and we have a healthy ummah. Because of all of that, I really wanted to start a series in which I could address some of the questions that people had. And I thought I'd just call it The Love Sheikha because of that little nickname that my friend Naima had given me those years ago. Anyhow, in this session, we're going to be answering a question from a sister who wrote in to me. And she says that she's just reached about the age of 20, and she's still studying. She's at university, and she says, "I don't know whether I'm being hormonal. I've been wanting to get married in order to avoid falling into temptation, and you know, I don't free mix." She says, "with brothers, and also I prevent myself from haram relationships." Then she goes on to say, "I want to keep everything halal. I told my mum about this, but it's like my parents don't want me to get married early. I don't know what to do because I never had a serious brother approaching me for marriage. I'm trying my best to be patient, but she says, I need you to give me more advice and tips on how to increase myself in patience until, inshallah, the right time or the best time comes for me to get married." She said, "I tried to go onto these websites to search for a spouse, but I wasn't comfortable with it because I didn't want to be a person who did not have modesty. But please," she says, "please give me some advice." Well, Jazakillah khairan for sending that question in. And I'm sure that there are other brothers and sisters who might have similar, you know, concerns and similar things that they're going through. And so hopefully by me answering them on this forum, more people can benefit, because believe it or not, a lot of these kind of questions that come in are ones that are recurring and quite common. And sometimes we don't talk about these things. And because we don't talk about them, we think we're the only one who's going through something like this. So it's really great of you to have reached out and shared these thoughts with me. And I'm really honored that you did that, because I know it must be really hard to have the guts to kind of open up like that about your innermost thoughts. So jazakallah khairan for that. Here are some of the thoughts that come to my mind as I read your email. And they're just suggestions, they're ideas, things for you to take on board. You know, sometimes when you're right in the thick of an issue, right, when something is affecting you and it feels like the most important thing that's happening to you, sometimes it's hard to kind of take yourself out of the situation and take a bird's eye view, right? Look at the bigger picture. And so I think the first question when we face any kind of issue like this is to ask ourselves, how should I be viewing this? You know, how could I be thinking about this in the best way, right? In the best way. And I can see that, mashallah, you're already very conscientious. You know, you're really conscientious. You're already conscious about the fact that, you know, in Islam, before marriage, there's no any free mixing, in the sense that we shouldn't intermingle with people of the opposite sex without a reason, right? Just for chit chat and just for kind of relaxing and leisure and friendships and casual relationships. You know, these aren't things that as a Muslim we should go towards, because any kind of relationship with a non-mahram, with a person who's not closely related to us in such a way that we can't marry them. So obviously we're not talking about our brothers, our fathers, our uncles, our sons, our nephews, you know, certain nephews and certain uncles that are very close to us, etc. We're not talking about them. They are our mahrim, right? The mahrams. What we're talking about is non-mahrams, the people who aren't so closely related to us. In other words, people who we could potentially get married to. Any kind of casual relationship with those people is something that Islam does not allow, right? Of course, a person can say salam to people. Of course, a person can, if they need to, you know, have interaction and transactions with people of the opposite sex, right? So we might have to work with, or, you know, study with people of the opposite sex. However, when it kind of goes casual and it becomes like very lighthearted and almost like bordering on friendship and then spilling into flirtation, etc., then, you know, that's very problematic, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he forbade zina, or, you know, fornication and adultery, sex outside of marriage, when he forbade it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forbade all the things that can lead to it, all the steps that lead to it. So, you know, sisters and brothers, that there are people out there, religious people, and you might even know some of them, right, who fall into zina, or you hear about a person who's fallen into zina, and you sometimes feel surprised and you think, well, how could that have happened? You know, they're quite a religious person, and they were careful and they were conscientious about their prayers and their hijab and things like that. How could such a person fall into zina? If you were to look deeper, you'd find that it doesn't happen overnight, it doesn't happen suddenly. In other words, it doesn't happen in one step. No, shaitan usually works on a person slowly but surely, making them lose their standards, right? So perhaps first it will just be looking at somebody of the opposite sex. Perhaps then it will be moving towards them and starting a conversation, chit-chat. And then maybe it will be texting. And then maybe it will be meeting up. And shaitan will trick a person to slowly, slowly think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on, you've got good intentions, right? You're doing it for da'wah, or you're doing it with a good intention in mind, right? And before you know it, before a person knows it, they have gone so far from what their principles were. And this is how shaitan wears a person down, slowly but surely. And so because of that, we have a principle in the Sharia that anything that leads to a haram is also haram, right? And so those things like flirting, beautifying ourselves in public, and all those other types of things, apart from the explicit texts that forbid us from doing some of those things, also they're also forbidden in the sense that they are the things that lead to zina. They are the things that lead to sin, right? So, mashallah, you are, sister, are very conscious of that, because you've emphasized that quite a lot in the email. And I can see that, you know, you're really going through some turmoil, and it's really natural at that age to be going through those kinds of feelings. You know, I just want to reassure you of that. You know, there's nothing crazy about you, not at all. In fact, most people of your age will, by that time, you know, by the time they reach the age of 20, be thinking about marriage, be thinking about the opposite sex. And mashallah, those who are conscientious like you will think about how to approach the subject in a halal way, and you know, how to do the right thing. And you're really thinking about that. And the fact that you're thinking about it is really healthy and really good, mashallah. And the fact that you're being careful as well, you know, trying to think what's the best way to go about it, that also shows that you're very conscientious, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the way. So one of the things I would suggest to you is to really take a step back and think about marriage in a deeper way, you know. Think about it and realize that, yes, at your age, you may be feeling certain urges. You may have certain, of course, like attraction, right, to the opposite sex. That's just natural. And in the culture that we're living in which, you know, we're exposed to so much visual stimulus, right? There's so much visual stimuli everywhere, whether it's pictures of men, pictures of women, sexualized imagery, music, you know, wherever you go, even if you don't listen to music, if you walk into a shop, there'll be a love song. And, you know, all of these things are very suggestive and very, they awaken our senses and heighten our sense of desire, right? And I'm not saying that desire isn't a natural thing, even without these things. Of course, it is natural. You know, as we get older, when we reach puberty and beyond, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that desire for marriage in us, right? However, because we're surrounded by a culture that kind of always tries to entice us and make us think about our desires and stimulates our desires all the time, you know, through media and other means, as I mentioned, I think what it does is it kind of makes it harder. It makes it harder for young people who are not married to focus. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- So you've identified that the desire to get married is there. And as I mentioned, it's a completely natural and positive thing. What should you do now? What should you do now? Well, first of all, be aware that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he actually encouraged young people to get married when they're able to, right? As soon as they're able to, whether that means that they're mentally mature enough, physically mature, as well as financially for men, right? If they're able to, when you are mature enough in that way, and you know that you're ready, then definitely the sunnah encourages us to get married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was addressing young men, said, those of you who are able to get married, because it's better for you in that it helps you to lower your gaze and guard your chastity. So by getting married, that desire you have for intimacy and for close relationship is satisfied. And because of that, you don't turn to anything haram because you have the halal. That was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice. And then he said that if you can't get married, then you should fast. He actually encouraged young people to fast. And he said, because it will kind of diminish that the strength of the urges and the desire that you have, right? So it'll make it easier to cope with some of those feelings and desires while you're unable to get married. So that was the general advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would advise you, even in this stage while you're waiting and thinking about marriage, to take up fasting, you know, as a means. Fasting twice a week on Monday and Thursday is a great practice. It's something that really helps train you to have self-control, right? As well as obviously being an act of ibadah for Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I would encourage you to fast. Apart from that, what you've done is actually excellent, and that is that you've reached out to your parents and you've talked to them about it. And that's really great, you know. That's probably the best thing that you could have done, because your parents, hopefully, they're there, they care about you. There's no one in this world who cares about us more than our parents. And so they were the right people for you to turn to. And also, from an Islamic perspective, obviously, your father is your wali, he's your guardian in marriage. And so your parents would be the right people to turn to, you know, express this to. And you've said that they've kind of shown hesitancy, or they seem to want you to not think that you're ready, right? Well, I think that is something that is sometimes quite common for parents to do. The first time their child mentions marriage, some parents freak out, right? They think, oh my God, she's grown up, you know? And it's really hard for some parents to actually see their little baby as having grown up. It's literally something that they haven't really thought about sometimes, right? So I think probably it could be that your parents are kind of a bit surprised because they still see you as their little child. And now that you're getting older and you're expressing this, it's kind of maybe caught them a bit off guard, right? So I wouldn't think that they've completely ruled it out, right? They're probably thinking about it. They're probably discussing it between themselves. And they're probably thinking, you know, like what they should do with this new information that you've given them, right? That you want to get married. Also, I think sometimes because parents have that long-term view, right? Because they have experience of life and they know how quickly life passes, right? And they know how quickly once you get married, you do become very responsible, and you have a lot more responsibility on your hands. And they know that obviously it's a time of joy and positivity, but also that it's a big decision and a big responsibility. I think sometimes that can weigh heavily on parents, right? And so they might be a bit hesitant to for you to enter that domain at this age. And it could also be that because you're a student, you know, they think that it might be a distraction away from your studies, right? So it might be worth kind of completing your studies. Now, obviously, I'm just mentioning that as like from your parents' point of view, right? But Islamically, the ideal is that parents should not delay their children getting married, especially once their child has expressed to them that they need to get married or that they want to get married. Because the longer you put these things off without a good reason, the more danger there is for a person to fall into sin. And that's something that no parent should ever risk, right? Because if a child comes to their parent and says, you know, I want to get married, I need to get married to stay away from sin, and obviously you'd probably be too shy to say that to your parent, right? I'm going to fall into sin, you know, that's not something you want to kind of express to your parents. But, you know, being intelligent people, they could probably figure out that the fact that you're coming to them, you have certain feelings and needs, and so you've come to them asking them to help you, right? And so really the correct response to that is to take that very seriously. Because now if such a person as you should now be told, no, you can't get married, and then turn to sin, then that sin would be upon not only you, but it would also be upon the parents, because they did not facilitate or they put a barrier between you and getting married. I'm not trying to trivialize your, you know, a person's sin when they fall into haram, but I'm saying that the parents should never be a barrier when they realize that their adult child is ready to get married. They should not be a barrier. If anything, they should try to facilitate the best way for their child to get married, right? And actually make it easy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to make marriage easy. Marriage should be made easy, and zina should be made difficult. Unfortunately, in the society that we live in, zina is really easy for people to fall into, and marriage, people are making it difficult, okay? But conscientious parents out there, and if there are any parents listening to this, I'd say to you, whenever your child expresses to you and shows signs that they have desires, that they want to get married and settle down, the right way to respond to that is to show them that you're taking their feelings seriously, right? Not that you're completely disregarding their feelings, because unfortunately, I've seen situations where when parents write off the idea of marriage and kind of treat their young adult child as some kind of, you know, immature imbecile, what can happen is that that adult child will then harbour a lot of resentment towards their parent, right? And then will take that resentment and, you know, it can manifest itself in various ways, various harmful ways. So as parents, we always want to make our children feel that we're on their side, because we are on their side. You know, the fact that you went to your parents, I would have hoped that they would have kind of really appreciated that you could come to them and would have made you feel safe in being able to come to them. You know, and maybe they did do that. But that is the right way for parents to have responded. Now, if you're saying that they're not responding in that kind of positive way and they're kind of showing negative signs or trying to delay things, maybe, as I said, it was a bit of a shock to them that you brought the subject up. And maybe what you can do is wait for a better time, a time when your mom is in a really good mood or in the mood for a really private, good private chat with you. Maybe you can take your mom out, you know, and have a one-to-one with her over coffee or something like that. And I would encourage you to approach your mom, because usually mothers, you know, they have a lot of empathy with their daughters and with their children. And so in a different kind of way to dads, right? And sometimes it's better to approach one parent privately by themselves. And then that parent can then present the situation. You know, once you've kind of convinced one parent and once you've kind of shared your views and your feelings and poured yourself out to one parent, and they can empathize with you and understand you and sympathize with what you want, then hopefully they could then go to the other parent and convince them. Sometimes that works better than for you to kind of directly sit both parents down, because sometimes parents feel awkward in that kind of situation. So what I'd encourage you to do is to think, you know, which of your parents do you have that kind of close relationship with where you could talk about what's in your heart? You know, and if that's your mum, then I would really encourage you to take her out, to have a nice, you know, private moment with her where you could just say to her, look, mum, this is something I've been thinking about. Please, I've come to you because you're my mum and I want to do the right thing, you know. I want to do the right thing and I want to take your advice on board. You know, show your parents that you care about their opinions, right? And just say to her, you know, what's the best way for me to think of this, right? I feel that I would like to get married, but obviously I respect you and I respect the fact that you want me to study and that I am studying. So what would be the best way for us to look at this? You know, that would be a great way for you to kind of have an open conversation, because instead of kind of saying to your parents, this is what I want, what you're doing is you're putting the ball in their court and saying, these are my feelings. What do you think is the best way to deal with this? You know, how can we do this in a good way? And if your parents are religious, and even if they aren't particularly religious, you know, it might be worth mentioning, you know, in that conversation somewhere, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, and that this is just a natural thing. A lot of people of your age start thinking about marriage. And so you want to share with them that, you know, you care about their opinion and that you love them and you want to do things the right way. And what that will hopefully do is soften your parents' heart and really make them feel that significant and important in your life. And, you know, not that you're kind of trying to leave them, or, you know, any kind of feeling of fear of kind of you moving away from them will dissipate, hopefully, if you emphasize the fact that you're not trying to run away, you're not trying to move away from them. What you're trying to do is do what's natural for somebody of your age, but you want to do it in a nice way, right? Everything's a good day. I put my life in your hands, Allah. You will always lead my way. Oh, everything's a good day. I give my life to you, Allah. You will always lead my way. So hopefully that will open the conversation further into, like, how you could do that. And maybe they'll say to you, well, you know, we don't want you to get married. we want you to complete your studies, which is not ideal because, you know, there are people who do get married while they're still studying. But at the same time, sometimes people have to stop studying when they get married because of the huge responsibility that they feel that they now have. So it's definitely worth taking your parents' view into consideration because they know your personality, they know you. And so, you know, they've probably taken that into account. And they probably wouldn't like you to check out of education at this stage, you know, because that tends to be a reason that some parents have for delaying their child's marriage. At the same time, it might be worth bringing up to your mum, you know, the fact that in our times, unfortunately, especially here in the UK, we're seeing a problem, a growing problem of sisters in particular, who, when they have delayed their marriages or due to circumstance, you know, if marriage got delayed for whatever reason outside their hands, unfortunately, the opportunities for getting married became slimmer and slimmer. And sadly, you know, sometimes we have sisters who would really like to get married, but now, you know, because of their advancing age and because of the fact that various factors, you know, in terms of men not wanting to marry people who are of a certain age and above and things like that, which, you know, are unfortunate, but at the same time are realities in our communities. What's happened is there have been an increasing number of sisters who have been unable to find a spouse as they got older. And obviously, your parents would not want that to happen to you. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't get married at the age of 20, you know, you're going to lose the ability to get married or the opportunities, right? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, at least by highlighting that to your parents, it will kind of put the thought in their mind that, you know, when opportunity to get married does come along, it's something that parents should take seriously. When somebody proposes or somebody is interested, it means that it's like a type of risk from Allah, I would see it as. And it's something worth taking seriously, right? The Prophet ﷺ encouraged fathers that if a man comes to you for your daughter's hand in marriage and, you know, you're satisfied with his personality, his manners and his deen, then you should marry your daughter to him. You should make it easy for him to marry your daughter. And he said, if you don't do it, then there'll be a lot of fitna in the land. There'll be a lot of temptation and evil spreading in the land. And so he encouraged us to really take proposals that come seriously. Now, you're saying further on in the email that you've never been approached for marriage, and that you've tried to be patient and you've been on certain websites, etc., looking potentially for a spouse. First of all, there's nothing immodest about wanting to seek a spouse, you know, for a woman to actively look for a spouse. There's nothing immodest about that, right? Because you're literally seeking to do the halal, right? Now, obviously, the way you go about that matters. But going on a website and looking for a spouse is not an immodest thing, right? At the same time, I would kind of discourage you from doing that at this stage, you know, because you're literally at the early stage of even thinking about this and bringing your parents on board with this. And so I would encourage you, first of all, to go through your parents and try to soften at least one of your parents up to the idea. And then, you know, what you'll notice is that once your parents are on board, then hopefully more doors will open up, because what tends to happen is once parents are actively enrolled into wanting their child to get married, right, or helping their child to get married, they have access to people, you know, they have literally have access to aunties and people who know other people and a whole network of people who are looking to get married. And usually that is a really good way for people to get to hear that, okay, so-and-so has a daughter, you know, she's of marriageable age. And then usually people will inquire, right, for marriage. And they will come to meet you maybe and et cetera, through your parents. Now, if that's not there and if that's not happening and you feel like nobody's willing to help you get married, etc., then I would be patient, but also keep trying with my parents. Because what I wouldn't want you to do, sister, is to go online or, you know, to kind of develop a relationship with somebody and then your parents shut it down, and for you to have any kind of emotional attachment to that person, you know, because that's going to really hurt. That's going to really hurt. And what I would instead encourage you to do is to keep working on your parents, even if that means, okay, they don't respond well, and to wait for a few weeks, right? And then try again at a good moment. You know, find a time when your parent is at a good, in a good frame of mind to talk to you, and really try to enroll them into what you're trying to do, right? Into your vision, into your why. Why is marriage important to you? Why are you ready for marriage now? It's really important for you to share some of those thoughts in a sensitive way with that parent. Even if it means waiting a few weeks and then doing it again. If you go online and then you find somebody and you really like them and your parents are not even enrolled in the idea of helping you get married, that's going to be a very negative and painful situation for you to be in. So at this stage, I would focus on trying to get your parents on board, right? And if somewhere along the way a proposal comes along or somebody comes along or you meet someone who you would really like to get married to, then don't allow that relationship to develop to a situation where you're emotionally attached to that person. I would really discourage you from doing that. And I know that it's easy to even form emotional attachments to people without doing anything like haram. You can literally become infatuated with somebody, or you can start really liking somebody from a distance. And I know it's really hard. I know it's hard. You know, I've been at that stage of life myself, and it is hard. But forming any sort of attachment doesn't make it easier. It will make it more painful. So in the meantime, sister, while, you know, maybe your parents are delaying it a bit and etc., what I would really encourage you to do is to develop yourself as much as you can, to be the best Muslimah that you can be, and to be the best wife and the best worshipper of Allah that you can be. You know, there's no shortage of things that you could be busying yourself with while you're not able to get married. For example, seeking knowledge of Islam, you know, learning tajweed of Quran, learning the basics of your religion and then progressing in that and really taking studying Islam seriously as well as your other studies. And developing yourself in whatever way you can for adulthood, right? I would really encourage you to do that, because what can happen sometimes is that when you're at this age, you feel really like you really, really want to get married and it's so urgent on your mind. And then when you do get married, sometimes you can start thinking, oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had learned this and that before I got married, before I had responsibilities on my hands, you know? Because I know a number of sisters, for example, who did get married and they had children very quickly after that. And, you know, they now, after they've had children, they're trying to learn tajweed of Quran. They've realized how important it is for them to be able to read the Quran properly, to be able to know their Islam properly. Because now they're going to be a mother, right? They're going to be responsible for educating another Muslim. So, and sometimes those sisters, they wish that they'd done that, you know, while they had more free time. So I'd really encourage you to not stop in your own self-development and to really take it seriously, because the more you study, the more you, more proficient you become in your knowledge of Islam. And also, you know, the more you kind of learn how to run a home, things like being able to cook, being able to do those kind of basic things, right? Organizing and running a home and helping out and that sort of thing, the more prepared you're going to be for marriage, you know, because although romance and love and companionship, those are all important aspects of marriage. Believe me, once the honeymoon period is over, right? I would say the first 6 months or the first year is over, you know, there's practical stuff that you just need to get on with as a couple, right? And that stuff doesn't get done by romance alone, right? Through romance alone, not at all. That stuff gets done through hard work and capabilities and competence. And so the more competent you are in terms of running a home, in terms of being able to cook and do all those basic things that most women will do, right, once they get married. Not that that's all marriage is, but I'm literally being practical with you and real with you. Those skills are just so important. If you can spend the time that you have while you're not able to get married, developing and honing those important life skills, then when you do get married, you know, those things will be a breeze, inshallah, and will be a lot easier. And you won't be kind of thinking, oh, I wish I'd learned to cook before, you know, I wish I'd learned to be able to do this and that before, I wish I'd learned to read the Quran properly before. So yeah, I would really encourage you to develop those skills. And one of the kind of bonus effects that will probably result from you taking a more keen interest in things like running the home and helping your mom and helping run your own parents' home, you know, and cooking and things like that, is that they'll probably realize and see that you're getting more and more mature and that you are ready to get married, right? Because if you're not really a responsible person, if you're not being a mature person in their eyes, then that's probably going to lead to them thinking, well, you know, oh dear, you know, our daughter really doesn't realize how tough life can be and how much of a responsibility it is to run a home. So the more you show them that, you know, you are a responsible person and that you are, you have developed into a lady or a young lady, hopefully they will come round. And if your parents don't come round, then I would suggest that you approach maybe an uncle, right? Or an auntie, somebody who is close to one of your parents and really kind of somebody obviously who's of good character and will be able to keep things private, and also somebody who maybe would be a really good advisor, if you know somebody like that, who could probably talk to one of your parents about it, right? But again, always emphasizing to your parents that you respect them, that you love them, you want to do things properly, you want to keep them involved, their opinion is important to you, and that you just want them to show you what's the best way to go about it, you know, in the best way. And, you know, being open to whatever issues they raise and being willing to not necessarily reply to every issue that they raise straight away, you know, just say, oh, let me think about it, you know, and be willing to consider. Often when it comes to our parents, we need to kind of take stock of their background, their history, their concerns, you know, and really take on board why they see things the way they do and truly understand their psychology and the way they have been brought up, etc., and their concerns. And what that does is it helps us to not feel anger or not feel kind of resentment towards our parents. Instead, we really understand our parents deeply, and that helps us to come across in a more positive way and to show our parents that we're actually listening to them and that we do care about their opinion, you know. Anyway, that's where I would start with all of those things that you mentioned. So enrolling your parents, finding a really good time to talk to one of your parents, and persevering with that gently and nicely in the best way that you can. In the meantime, developing yourself, making sure you learn tajweed, learn how to read the Quran, focus on the Quran, focus on developing your life skills, things like cooking and being able to run a home and all of those things that really are important later on when you do get married. Showing your parents that you've become an adult. And last but not least, and really this isn't least at all, in fact, I probably should have mentioned it first, and that is, dear sister, that you should make dua. You should make sincere dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help open your parents' hearts and to facilitate you getting married. I remember myself as a 19-year-old, I wanted to get married when I was about 18 or 19. And I also wanted to carry on with my studies. And I really couldn't see how I would be able to do that, because I knew that once you get married, you know, you probably have children quite soon after that. And, you know, even if you don't have children, it's still a big responsibility and a big change. And it's a big ask sometimes to expect your spouse to kind of come along with you in whatever things you want to do, right? Although obviously it's something you can mention when you're getting married and negotiate. And it didn't feel to me like it was a very easy thing for somebody to accept, you know, their wife studying full time or studying at all while trying to run a home, etc. So I remember one of the du'as that I would always make to Allah was this. I would say to Allah, "Ya Allah, I want to get married and I want to be able to study. And I don't know how I'll be able to do the two of them. But nothing is impossible for you, Ya Allah. And so, Ya Allah, somehow make it possible. Somehow facilitate it, Ya Allah. Nothing is impossible for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's Allah who turns people's hearts. He's the one who's going to soften your parents' hearts, right? He's the one who's going to help you find a spouse, ultimately. And he's the one who's going to show you the right way. He's going to show you the right way." So I would really encourage you to make sincere dua. Pour your heart out to Allah. Literally tell him everything that is in your heart. Every feeling that you're feeling. Every pain that you feel. And tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he knows, tell him, "Ya Allah, I just want to seek the halal. I want to do things the halal way. And Ya Allah, I want to keep your laws. I want to obey you, Ya Allah. So Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Ya Allah, facilitate marriage for me."
How do we spend these days and lonely nights? In my sujood, I call to you.
to ease this hardship this journey has put me through. In my sujood, I call to you. You ease my pain, I only find my peace through you. In my sujood.
And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. And if it becomes really difficult, please wake up in tahajjud, in the last third of the night, and pray two rak'at for Allah. And in your sajdas, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you to find a spouse, helps you to get married, and facilitates it and makes it easy in the minds of your parents. So dear sister, I hope that all of that has been useful to you. It's a starting point. It's not meant to be like, you know, a long-term strategy. It's really, you know, a kind of a midterm or short and midterm strategy for you. And I pray to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you a wonderful spouse, and that he helps you in every single way. And hopefully, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate your marriage. Jazakillahu khairan. I hope that helps. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh, every day's a good day. I give my life.